Mr. Fan is working for me.
Okay, good. All right. Lord be with you, Brother Barnabas.
It's really good to be here. I've always loved this place since the first time that I came, and that love doesn't waver, it grows.
Amen.
Most of the time, if not all the time, when we walk up to this place, there's a lot of fear, a lot of trembling, a lot of doubts. This is no different. But yet, that's just like when you're having a problem and you think it's so overwhelming, and all at once you remember, you know, I've been through that before. I didn't handle it, God did.
Amen.
And that's what we trust that He will do today. Ephesians chapter 2.
That's good,
God. He said, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." That's one thing you can depend on if you read anything that Brother Paul wrote. And that's one thing that, you know, we talked about it, they did on the Zoom yesterday, I think, that, you know, God doesn't sugarcoat anything. He told about David's transgressions. He told about Abraham's lying, per se. "That's my sister." Well, it was his half-sister, but it was wife. Somehow in that day and age when Abraham lived, it was okay to kill a man and take his wife. But you wouldn't kill a man, just take his sister. I don't get it. But that's the way it was back in them days. And we're told she was pleasant to look at, to say the least. But all the things that God's people did wrong or didn't fulfill properly, like Jonah going the wrong way and, you know, things like that. Don't let that baby worry you. If I can't preach over that, I should sit down anyway. But anyway, he starts out by saying, "You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." We've been quickened and made alive. That's the beauty of this text. Partly, I got something else coming later. But we've been quickened and made alive. And we were dead. And folk have a hard time trying to figure out how can you be born again. Well, born again or from above. That's the key point. Born of that Spirit of our God. He says, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." Now think about that. There's no difference here in the world and God's people. For a while. In times past, I might say. The Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We had that same spirit. And I remember that well. Sadly.
Sure.
My dad was an old Baptist preacher, and I can only imagine how he felt to see such a disobedient, wayward son. But I know how he felt when I went down after this happened to me. And I told this story, but he almost quit talking about religion because he says people told him that he was running his children off by talking like that. Well, I won't talk about it today. I said, Dad, that's why I came. That's why I came. And there was a brotherly love there.
Yeah.
From that instant onward. But all this that I've led up to, verse 4 says, but God.
Amen.
But God. Now, if you're reading anything or talking to anybody about anything, when they start saying, I would, but, you know, discount that. That's useless. But when it said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved. Now, isn't that a nice but?
Yeah,
but God.
Amen.
Between last night and real early this morning, I went through Strong's Concordance and looked up every but God in the New Testament. I didn't have the time nor the eyeballs to go to the Old Testament. There are 17 but gods in the New Testament. It said, but God is the only one that can cure sin, pay the price.
Yeah, that's right.
But God made us different from the fowl and from the animal world. 1 Corinthians 15, you know, there's differences in all that. But God sent his son.
Yeah.
Oh, it's an amazing thing to me that God would even pay any attention to folk like you and I. And I esteem you better than myself, but I still say that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Correct.
You can't sugarcoat that.
Nope.
Some people you start talking to and they'll get all excited and start telling you all they've done. Well, I can tell them a whole lot too. I sinned and come short of the glory of God over and over and over and over. Still do. But that being said, it said, but God. And it tells you why.
It's a difference.
Who is rich in mercy.
Right.
For his great love, wherewith he loved us. Now, isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. And it goes on to say, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, did you catch that? All those things led up to that God hath before ordained that you should walk in good works. God knew what we were going to do. And some people, when they start trying to justify election, they will say, oh, that's because God knew what you were going to do. To have a thing on earth to do with it. He knew you was going to sin to come short of the glory of God.
Absolutely.
What it had to do with is what it says here, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us.
That's what it's
got to do.
Amen.
God loved us with an everlasting love.
Right.
I mean, you could go to John 3:16 for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's his people. That's not the world at large. Obviously, it's not. People say that heaven is going to be populated with every person that's ever been born. I say, Jesus stood there and said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Come unto me. Come unto me. I mean, you can go back to Isaiah 53. You can go to Isaiah 55. You can go anywhere you want to. You can even go to Isaiah 9 where it said, behold, a child's going to be born. All the way back in the Old Testament. But born it was.
Amen.
One of the but gods was talking about the fact that they couldn't find anything wrong with Jesus Christ. Nothing. They didn't find anything wrong with him. But they crucified him anyway. They took him down and put him in a sepulcher. And the scripture says, but God raised him up.
Amen.
God's got the power. He can do anything he wants to. He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. And he spake everything into existence that you can see. And you might say, well, he didn't do it in benches. He made the trees that the benches were made out of.
Correct.
Everything goes back to God. I mean, that's what it said. In the beginning, God. It didn't say in the beginning, man did this, that, and the other. It didn't take long for it to say that he sinned to come short of the glory of God, and he was deceived by the woman. The woman was deceived by the serpent, and they both lied big time. They just did wrong. They knew it. But it fell on Adam because he was the one that was given a commandment. It fell on him. And we're Adam multiplied. The Apostle Paul in Galatians 6. Begin at verse 11. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the Christ, in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Apostle Paul said, God forbid. But God forbid that I should glory in anything other than the cross of his Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Paul, near as I can tell, leaving aside his former life when he did all kind of bad stuff and persecuted the church and wanted to destroy it. But after the little trip on the Damascus Road,
yeah,
he got a heap of learning quickly. And not only that, but he had more time for more learning. He didn't go to Jerusalem. He didn't go looking for a religious leader. He went out into the desert, alone with God, if you will. Alone with God. That's where we should go oftentimes. Alone with God. This life, this world, moves too quickly. Decisions are made instantaneously. Right or wrong, most wrong. But we need to be alone with God. You know, we talked about Bill Stevens earlier, that he's 91 now, almost 92. And his major arteries blocked up. He said, they told me I'm too old and I'm not in good enough health to fix it. So I just have to live with it. But that's the same man that before he was brought out of nature's darkness to the marvelous light of Jesus Christ, on a Sunday took a shotgun out into the woods to hunt and to kill. The wind-up was the gun is laying there and the animals are all around and he didn't make any attempt to even touch the gun because he'd been touched by the power of a covenant-keeping God and, you know, chastised, if you will, for not being in church.
Sure.
That's the God that we trust in. He's got all power. He was alone with God.
Sure.
For a space of time, he was alone with God. I mentioned this one earlier, but it's in Acts 13. Where they crucified Christ. And in verse 30 it said, but God raised him from the dead. It reminds me somewhat of the first book of John, 1 John, 3rd chapter, where it says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now, isn't that sweet, powerful? We're called sons of God. Sometimes we don't feel worthy to even walk through the door. But we're called the sons of God, and we also call kings and priests.
Yeah.
God made us like that from what we were. And you might say, well, I don't feel too priestly. Well, you probably don't. You're probably not supposed to. But you're supposed to remember that you're still in the flesh. And you're also supposed to know that no matter what happens to this life or this world or this nation or whatever, nothing matters. We're told that trials and troubles and tribulation in this life are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us in yonder's world. We're told it doesn't matter here. They can't do anything but kill the body. You know, another wave of viruses. They can kill the body. But it won't make a lot of difference. Immediately, your soul will be in heaven with the Master.
Absolutely.
And He's going to come back and reunite it with this old body. Not the way it is, mind you. 1 Corinthians 15 will tell you about the changes that's in the body. But it's going to be changed. We're going to be quickened and made alive in this world. And in the world to come, it's just going to speak, most likely, to the old bodies. And they're going to come forth. You might say, well, how can God make the body new? God made the body to begin with. I don't see a problem. I mean, really. If I had the power to make a jet engine or lawnmower engine, as far as that goes, if something happened to us, I could fix it. I could make another one. Now, I could put one together, but I can't make the parts. There's a lot of things like that that we just don't understand. But God does. We're told He'll not tempt us above that which we are able. But we'll make a way of escape. I told a story, I don't know if I told it here or not, and I'm not going to name any names, but there was a minister I knew up north that had a major problem in his family. And I went to the meeting where he was conducting the service, and he made a silly statement. His wife and himself had decided to give it over to the Lord. You know I didn't let that go. I said, why didn't you do it to start with? Well, we should have. God's concerned with little things too. He is concerned with us, His people. And you might say, well, why does He let us get sick? First time I was ever in a hospital overnight was when I was 70 years old. And I disagreed with most everything the doctors and nurses said. Finally, they come and said, we're going to let you go home today. Really? I already knew I was going home for the most part. But anyway, my point is, that sickness, which was devastating for weeks, enabled me to know what it is when people are sick. I've never been sick. I've never been in the hospital. I've still yet never had an operation. I don't know what these things are. But if you're led into them, then you have empathy for those that go through it. My daughter has migraines. I don't have a clue what that's about. I rarely ever have a headache, and about once every 6 months or a year would I take something for it. But if I had them, I could talk to her more sensibly. But my point is that God equips us for what we need to do, causes us to want to do it. I mean, it's nice sitting there. I had much rather hear him preach than hear me preach. You probably would too. But, you know, such is life. But the point is that God equips us.
Sure He does.
And He equips you folks. Causes you to have that hunger. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. People go so far, I think, as to make that say that everybody is coming to God. It didn't say that. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I tell you, I was laboring and I was heavy laden when I went to that so-called church, we'll put it that way, in Baltimore, Maryland, right outside of the city. That's one of those places where Brother John said, you know, turn or burn. Man, that told me I might die that night if I didn't give my heart to God right there immediately. I went home and I didn't do that, but I went home and I made it home just fine. God and I had a talk, and I did that, but not like that with saying you might die on the way home. No, not like that.
Oh, brother. God bless you. Appreciate that so much.